I woke up to news that Rinelle Brooks Moon, who's been the PA announcer at the San Francisco Giants for 24 years, she and the Giants mutually parted ways, quote unquote. And I was like, oh, hell no, they did not. She's the first Black woman in MLB to be a PA announcer. It was a contract negotiating thing. I can't imagine that she's asking for anything more than what she deserves. They're doing her dirty. It's all the isms that you can think of. We'll put the petition in the show notes if you can sign it. And also, fuck the patriarchy. I'm over it. Again, I'm over it. Welcome to Bitch Talk. I'm your host, Erin, here with my co-host, Ange, aka Captain Party. And over the last 10 years, we've been elevating marginalized voices through interviews and events.
Sometimes over a glass of whiskey. If you're thirsty for more bitches, head over to bitchtalkpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram.
A big thank you to 48 Hills and our listeners for voting us Best of the Bay Best Podcast in 2022 and 2023.
And now, on with the show.
Well, here we are, bitch talkers. I'm not even counting down for Ange. We're just getting into it. We have not put out an actual basic bitch since January 26th. And guess what? It's almost the end of March. Yeah, I know. Ange and I have been trying to do a basic, but, you know, festivals just get in the way. So
we had 50 movies to watch, so we didn't have time.
I think, I don't know. Since then. Was it at the end of South By or like when we got home? And I'm like, Ange, we literally have watched like about 50 movies and done about 50 interviews. So I think we're good for the year. We're good. We're spring has sprung and we're taking a break.
Correct.
I mean, kind of a little.
Not really. I mean, we're still going to be putting out 2 episodes a week. So don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, we're here, you guys, but I think we're a little bit donezo. But with all of that, you know, it's like things just are happening. They've been happening. Andrew and I are like, oh, we got to talk about that on a basic. We got to talk about that on a basic. And so I just wanted to start out with some award season highlights because we haven't even had a chance to talk about the award season. So I don't think you've watched it yet, Ange. I don't blame you. I don't know
what the Oscars.
No, the Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah. So Nick Offerman won for his appearance in The Last of Us, and that very
thank God. Yes.
Special episode with him and friend of the show Marie Bartlett. And he had a wonderful speech, and I love him so much. We'll put everything in our show notes, but he's a badass. I love him. He's just an ally, like through and through. Adi Bryant was the host. She should host everything. More women should just be hosting award shows in general, or queer people.
Someone
or
different
interesting
at
people.
All.
Yeah, just anyone that's not Jimmy Kimmel. And I mean, no shade to Trevor Noah because he does a good job on the Grammys, but I'm just like, I'm so tired of men.
Someone
like,
who
seriously.
Hasn't done it 50 times before, also.
Yeah. I don't know, Ange, if you'll ever, maybe when you're in Mexico and you want to watch the Independent Spirit Awards.
As one does in Mexico. Yeah.
But she was great and hilarious. I love that Beef has won like everything.
Yes. Seriously, sweeping the award season.
Ali Wong is just like now a serious actor.
Now we'll never get her on, Jesus Christ.
And we'll never be on Bitch Talk.
We tried like 8 years ago, but whatever.
Right. So we'll never get her on. That's fine. I have a note about the Grammys and the fucking opening with Fast Car.
Oh,
and,
yes. That was the highlight of award season. Holmes.
Yeah, that is like ultimate.
Seeing Tracy Chapman again, and she looks great. She sounds the same. And she looked really happy to be on stage. Like when everybody gave her a standing ovation after the first like 2 chords of the song, everybody freaking out. And she gave that little smile. It was really, really sweet. I loved every second of it.
It made me believe in humanity just for like a second. It was great.
Well, and he was correct in the way he was on stage, kind of admiring her the whole time and realizing that it's her stage that he's lucky to be a part of. And I like the camera work too. Like you didn't even see it until he started singing. So it was all just done very well.
Yes. And I do love every time that she would sing the part that she would sing, he was like mouth.
He was like us in the audience. Yeah.
Correct. And looking at her so lovingly. It was just.
It was really sweet.
I want to cry thinking about it. The Joni Mitchell piece, another, I just started crying because it's Joni Mitchell and she's getting older. And
living
it was,
legend. Yeah.
It was again, literally. And also I was like, oh, Anne's just going to have that kind of cane at some point.
I will update my cane. Hopefully I won't need another one for at least
I don't want you to have it.
20 years, hopefully, but we'll see.
No, I just want it to be like an accessory piece for you. It doesn't need to be like you
not
need
for necessity,
it,
you know what I mean? But for looks. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Well, I could use my current cane if you like the look of it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you need to do something with that thing. But it's also a weapon, just FYI.
Not mine. Mine is like foldable, retractable. It's very
never mind. I think you could still beat someone. Like if you just needed to really quick, you can't just like a sword.
No, you just poke them in the eyes. That's all you got to do. You go for the eyes. Oh.
Okay. I mean, sure. I just don't want to use my fingers for that.
That's not what he said.
Or she.
It's not what they said. Everybody.
Correct. All of them. All of them. Oops, sorry. Oops. Olivia Rodrigo. I'm a new fan. I know I'm an old lady, but I love her.
She's hot. And
where
Filipino.
Have I... I can't say she's hot. She's very young.
I mean, but hot, like on fire.
On
like she's in her peak. She's in her prime. Like she's
right. And hella young still. Like
yeah,
she's,
I don't mean I hot. Just... Like I'm not attracted to her, but she's Filipina as well. Very
correct.
Beautiful.
Correct.
Young and lady.
Just kicking ass and taking names. I think, I don't know. Like
she's got like a unique style too. She's just, you know, she's not trying to be anybody else.
Nope.
I feel like, yeah.
I'm new to Olivia Rodrigo. Sorry, not sorry. And then of course Miley Cyrus winning and just being Miley Cyrus about everything. I have a new love for her.
She was like the only one having fun.
Yes.
At the awards and like joking around, talking shit to the audience while she was performing. Yeah.
Yes.
And when when she got her award from Mariah Carey and gave Mariah like her due love as well, that was a cute moment.
Was it Mariah?
Yes, because she was like MC.
Oh right, MC
and
MC,
and she
right.
was like talking about what a big deal it was. Yeah, it was cool.
Sorry, I was confusing that with Celine Dion because she also appeared.
Oh no,
nowhere,
Celine
right?
Dion gave her award to Taylor Swift, barely acknowledged her on stage. It was a stark difference. We'll just
no comment. Okay, and then the last thing I'll mention, and whatever if you need to put in any award season highlights here. The Academy Awards, of course, which we were at South by 4, so we didn't get to see it in real time. But like we did a quick YouTube video highlights when we came home that night. Of course, 20 Days of Mariupol won. We had the director on, and we're hoping to rerun that interview soon. I don't know when, though, because we have all South by stuff. But even if we don't, we had... the director on last year at Sundance. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the film's very important, especially in the times we're living in now. Please find it.
His speech was also very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And of course, shout out to our boy, Cord Jefferson.
Who we will have back. We will have him back on the show.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Where are you, Cord? Stop going to so many award shows, goddammit.
You're supposed to move to San Francisco. We were promised.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Welcoming you with open arms. that Journey song, right? And now I come to you. No?
What's happening? Why did you do that?
With open arms. No?
I never sing that song on karaoke. I would never sing Journey.
No. No, I'm just saying it's not your song, but we are welcoming him. With
oh, that's
arms.
Our song for him. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
You're referencing Jesus. Something that I...
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not referencing anything.
Well, maybe we don't sing Journey. That's not a thing.
I never sing Journey. It's the first thing that came. I'm so sorry,
I love
sorry,
Journey,
guys.
But nobody could sing Journey. Who could sound like him? Unless that Filipino dude who actually has literally sounds just like him. Anyway,
for the one... the one guy in the world who literally sounds just like Steve Perry. So anyways, those are just my little catch-ups because we haven't really been able to do it, which is fine. I mean, fuck award shows too.
Also that, but it is exciting to see who we've had on the show and how they're going to hopefully get recognized during award season, because we don't always have the biggest names on our show. So it's really exciting when their names pop up, even if they're just, even if they don't win, but they're still nominated. Anyways, the only other thing I have to add is something that was really random during the Oscars, that David Alan Greer made a random appearance and we just had him on our, wait, did we just have him? Yes, for Sundance. I didn't know if it has aired yet or it will air because I'm so confused. But he's been MIA for how many decades? And then we have him in a red carpet on Sundance. And then he shows up randomly at the Oscars for 2 seconds. It wasn't even like a thing. It was very random, but I just thought that was funny.
Well, you know, it's the bitch talk bump.
Exactly. You're welcome, Dave Alan Greer.
Correct.
Finally. He's going to break into the industry.
Finally, he's getting his dues after 45 years. No, just kidding. Sorry, David. If you're listening, you're probably not.
Yeah. So if we're going to rewind all the way back to January, I never talked about my trip to Zihuatanejo, Mexico, which was my first time in this part of Mexico. And the only thing we know about it, like most people, is if you've ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, it's where Tim Robbins' character escapes to. It was like his dream island, which in actuality, the scene was shot in like the British Virgin Islands or something. It was not shot in Mexico. But anyways,
it was? I did not know that.
The footage of that is shot. Yeah. But it should have fucking been shot in Zihuatanejo because it's beautiful and I love it. And for those of you who might want to visit, I'll try to explain it as easily as I can. Our first night there, we go out and I realize that we are like the youngest people there.
Yes.
It's all old people. Like white all the hairs, olds? White hairs everywhere. Yeah. And I was like, this is my fucking jam. So like, I don't fuck with Cancun. I barely will fuck with Playa del Carmen anymore. Like all these party cities, it's just like not my thing anymore. But this place is like super chill, very relaxed, very safe. All the locals are like, no, you can relax here. You don't need to worry. Like even on the beach, if you travel to different places, like when you're on the beach, you got to watch your shit. And I'm not saying you should just be free with your, you know, but there's not that tense feeling of like, I got to be super aware at all times. It's just like retirees, old people, everybody's very relaxed. It's just a small strip of beach. And then you can either walk or take a car to downtown where there's like restaurants and bars and stuff. But like, it's just, we were staying on the beach. And right next door to us was a restaurant with live music and really good food. And you could just walk up and down the beach and just like chill. I was like, I told my sister to take me there to die, basically, because I was like, this is just lovely.
Beaches.
But one funny thing happened that I'll talk about. So we were there for my sister's birthday and we decided to get like this, like have this fancy dinner on the beach one of those nights for her birthday. And it was at this hotel that was not ours. It was a different hotel. So anyway, so we show up and they had real strict security at this hotel. Like you have to show them like why you're there or whatever. And so the guard was reading our receipt and it said like romantic dinner for two. And so they were all like trying to like figure out like if it was legit or whatever. And he was like, romantica, cena, you know, dinner, romantic dinner. And my sister and I were like all red faced and we're like, no, 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 not romantic. It's just a dinner. Like no romance. It was really funny. And then we show up and it looked like it was our wedding dinner, like private, like gazebo for two. We didn't know this gazebo with like flowers and just, and it was just us. Like I thought it was going to be in a restaurant. It was like just us under a gazebo. And I was just like, all right, well,
romantico.
Yeah. Romantica. So that was ridiculous. But yeah, it was I would highly recommend if you want to go and just be on the beach and not have to worry about anything and just be super relaxed. If you want to have like party time and whatever, I get it. But this place is like where you can just chill and still have a good time, but it's like for the elders. It is like very mellow. I loved it. Anyways,
I love it. For the old.
And Clearly there's romantica to do if you want that.
Apparently, yeah. Well, you're by the beach. Romantic. Romantica.
We're like, no, no, sin means no. Sin romantica. I kept saying that.
You're like sisters. Sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, anywho's. My God.
We could talk about our Planned Parenthood event that I'm very proud of.
I have that on the list.
Cool.
Yes.
You introduce it.
I will try my best. We were asked to help host, or no, we were asked to host a Planned Parenthood Advocates Marmonte fundraiser in Oakland on February 6th. I had to go back and look. I'm like, when was this? I knew it was after Sundance, but I'm like, okay. So it's February and early February. And it was at the historic Grand Lake Theater in Oakland, which I always love being at, in this really awesome room. I can't remember. Egyptian room?
The Egyptian, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. And so I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us doing that. It was a little bit nerve-wracking. We've never really hosted an we haven't really.
Not a full-on event like that.
Not a fundraiser either. Like, we've done, you know, comedy shows.
Or Q&As.
Yeah.
Or like the book. Well, you were there for 1 second. But like the book.
Yes.
Book signing. Book press tour or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But this was like a full-on. We had scripts. We're introducing all these really badass people. And we're fundraising.
Really very, very big deal people.
Yes. Yes. very, very big deal. And anyways, so at the end of the day, that fundraiser, let's see, they raised almost $200,000 mm-hmm. just in one night. Yeah. We did that. And the first thing we were served was tuna tartare. So if people want to continue the tartare talk, people just keep giving us tartare at parties. I don't know.
Rewind to our Sundance, basic bitch the tuna tartare reference. But also shout out to Stephanie Walton, friend of the show and badass as well, who really made it all happen. Not only us hosting, but the event, how successful it was monetarily. She's just an incredible human being. We're very lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
To know
that
her.
Was fun. Yeah.
But it was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to hire us to host anything, we'll consider it. Please send us an email at therealbtpod@gmail.com.
And we can work with scripts, apparently.
Yeah, we can read a script. It's harder than it looks, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that get these gigs and they're pretty well paying, depending, you know, on who it is. And I'm like, I want that for us. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. And we can read a script. Sort of. I have a little story about seeing John Batiste. That I have not shared. So a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, no, it was like November of 2023, John Batiste is announced a tour, and he was going to be at the Fillmore, which is literally a 15-minute walk from my house in San Francisco. He was playing two shows in one night. Nobody does that. And we wanted to get tickets because now, of course, for the last few years, we really loved him. And then Angie and I got to watch the doc about him. We really thought we were going to have him or the director on. We didn't, whatever. I'm still going to hold out hope that we'll have him on the show at some point. But he's just a special human being. So the day those went on sale, my husband went online. I drove down to the ticket office because I'm like, surely we'll be able to buy something. And like within less than 5 minutes, all the tickets for both shows were sold out. And then if you looked at the resale, they were $500 a piece. And we're like, we love you, John, but we're working people. We can't afford that. So so fast forward to the day that he was there. It was a Sunday. And we're like, what we're going to do is we didn't have anything on our calendars. And we're like, we're just going to walk down to the ticket office and see if there's tickets. Why not? And if there's not, whatever, but at least we tried. So we walked down there, stood in line. Again, it was sold out. And we're just like, we're just hoping for two tickets to one of the shows tonight. And they're like, oh yeah, we can get you. So just.
What? That's insane.
Yeah. They're like, yep. And they were, you know, what they were supposed to be sold for. And it was an incredible show. And I think my husband and I like cried multiple times during it because he's just a beautiful soul. He is so fucking talented. We don't deserve him. And he even, and I will say, he brings together intergenerational families and people in general. There were children there. There were a lot of old folks. Speaking of olds, a lot of olds there. And it was just sweet. It was a really neat thing to be a part of. You know, I don't know a lot of musicians or bands that can actually do that. So it was cool. He's doing good stuff. He's special. He and his wife are special folks. Catch the doc about him on Netflix. He was nominated for an Academy Award for the song from that film and for the doc. But if you can make the time and you really want to go see a show and it's not that far away from you, just show up at the box office. Apparently they still have like general admission tickets.
But even in the pictures that you took, you can feel the energy on the stage from the picture. That doesn't always come across when you're at concerts and you take pictures, but I was like, whoa, that looks like it was alive, like energized, super.
It was just so good.
Speaking of shows, we also saw a comedian friend of ours who we have an interesting story about, Frankie Quinones at Comedy Club. Frankie was incredible.
Frankie's hilarious.
He wrecked the room. He was also joined by his friend Marcelo Arguello, and he comes out as himself first and does a regular set, and then he closes as Creeper, which is his most popular alter ego. He has many of them, but I was just so proud of him. I've known him since, you know, college, and he was not even trying to be a comedian for as long as I knew him and until later in life. And now he's found like great success and he's like, you know, only going upwards from here.
Yeah.
He's on the Hulu show, This Fool. And I was, just real, not emotion. I didn't cry, but I was just like real proud the whole time. I just felt like full because he's original. He's very unique in his style. He was riding a lowrider bike for part of it. I don't know. It's just like, what is this? Oh, it's so good. But then of course, you know, we can't just have fun all the time. There has to be assholes in the audience. So you want to tell the story. And also this is like for people that don't go to comedy shows regularly, it's just like, there's just etiquette that you have, like, that you have to know, you have to learn.
Yeah, I guess I conveniently forgot about this story. I guess it was a little bit traumatic, a little bit, I would say. It was a lot. Mm-hmm. So, of course, and I'm learning lessons about myself and how to handle life because I don't see humanity getting any better. So it's like, how do you handle situations when people are on one? So there, we were upstairs at the Cobbs. Did I say at the Cobbs? At Cobbs. And there was a group of folks behind us. And they were old. They were like, if our age or older.
I never looked at them, to be honest.
Oh.
I just fucking heard them.
They were fucking talking and loud during the comedy sets.
Like us at this level right now, just regular talking, not even trying to lower the voice or whisper.
Right.
So like to the point where we were missing jokes. Like I was missing.
I didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. And also then the focus is just on them. So this is, Ange knows, this is one of my, I will die on this hill. Maybe. About fucking people shutting the fuck up during comedy shows. I cannot stand it. I cannot stand it. Go to dinner and talk. Don't go to a show and talk. So I didn't do anything at first, but I just kept looking at them. I'm like, they're going to have to shut up, right? In my head, I'm like, they have to shut up. They're going to have to. And they weren't. And it wasn't us, I don't think, at first, but people were kind of shushing them because no one could hear. Mm-hmm. So then it is also a little fuzzy because it's been so long. We've been doing so much and we're drinking. But I think my husband is the one that turned around and just said, I don't think he said, shut the fuck up. See, you have to tell me.
Oh, he did. No. Yes. You don't remember. Oh, I remember very clearly. Yeah. So this was all happening and I was sitting in the front of the table and you and your husband were sitting in the back. So I never saw you guys. I was just kind of focused on the stage and just like really trying to to pay attention because I couldn't hear that well, obviously. So the guy said, what is she looking at? Or something along the lines of like, why did
I was staring?
Because you had looked over just like a bunch of people had, obviously. And your husband came right quick and he was like, because you need to shut the fuck up. Or he said something like that.
He said he didn't say shut the fuck up, but he said you guys need to be quiet or something like that.
It was like,
I know, I don't know. No.
I will say it because I was real proud of him. I was like, get it, because he is not that person.
No, he is not.
He's not a fighter. He's not a, he's a peacemaker. He's a friend maker. So when he like raised his voice like that, I was like, oh, he's defending his bitch. That's cool. You know, because that guy was like, what is she looking at? Talking shit about you.
Yes.
Like, all this came together when I realized that's why he got all like, you know, defense. And I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Okay.
And I think it was fine. Whatever he said was just, and obviously everybody was in agreement. So then that guy,
Well, I'll say though, I think we ended up telling, we either or some other table told our server, like,
yeah,
someone needs to talk, like your people here need to talk to that table because it's egregious at this point. It's just loud. Mm-hmm. They're talking over the fucking axe. So someone did go and talk to them, but the guy wouldn't shut the fuck up.
He was saying little things under his breath for a while at your husband and at us, obviously.
Yes.
And I was like, fuck, now this is never going to stop. Which also the people that are working at comedy clubs, if somebody is being obnoxious, they need to leave immediately. That's not okay.
Just eject them.
Yes, exactly. Because we're not the only ones that are bothered by it. Anyway, and then finally he shut the fuck up. And I was like, okay, cool. Now we can at least pay attention.
Well, some of the people at his table were telling him to like, shut up. Finally.
Yeah, duh.
So then, the show ends. And then my husband gets up. He's like, I got to pee. And I'm like, okay.
So I was already in the bathroom. So I missed this part. Well, and then I'll tell my experience in the bathroom.
Well, also you went to the men's room, by the way. So anyways.
Oh, I thought it was unisex.
No, it was not. No. And that's why Jeff was also like laugh. Anyways. So you went.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I had to go real badly too.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you were there. So you got up and went to the bathroom. Then Jeff's like, I'm going to go pee too. And I'm like, I was having a weird feeling because that guy hadn't left yet. The table hadn't left. They were like getting ready to go, but they hadn't left. So Jeff walks to the bathroom and then I hear the guy say, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. And then this guy came out of kind of nowhere and stood up to this man, the one that I knew he was going to follow Jeff to the bathroom and start some shit. He stands up to him. He's like, you don't have to go to the bathroom. Just calm, cool, and collected. And I'm like, that guy is either a military or a cop or something. Because the way that he handled it.
This is the best part of the story. This is why I love this story, actually.
But I had gotten up. So that happened. And I got up and like ran to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you were coming out.
And so I was coming out first because your husband was still. And you were like, that guy's trying to like follow Jeff into the bathroom. Stay here with me and like protect him. And I was like, okay. So then we stood there. Yeah. I didn't
like,
know.
What are we going to do? Also?
Hey, eyes. Well, actually, go for the eyes.
You'll go for the eyes. I'll go for the throat. Okay. Or balls. I'll kick balls. I don't care.
No, we can do some damage. Trust me.
Yeah, no, I would fuck it. I would fuck that guy up. Seriously, I don't give a fuck.
Together, but, for sure. Yeah.
So then by the time we came back, that whole table was gone and that guy was still there. And apparently, I guess he was sitting at the table next to us with the woman. And I just went over. I'm like, thank you so much, because that could have been fucking terrible. And he was just like, he just was like, whatever about it. And the woman was like, yeah, of course. And I'm like, no, really. Like, it was all of it was obnoxious, blah, 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 blah. Go back to the table. And then some woman came over and thanked Jeff for like telling that guy to shut the fuck up. Or
see,
whatever.
Everybody is grateful for the one person that says something.
Right. But I think in hindsight, also, then there was another, it might have been the same Irish, because it was an Irish woman. When we went to the bar next door, she came back up to Jeff again and like gave him a hug and was like, thank you so much for saying something, blah, 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 blah. But I think what I learned from that situation was, well, we did tell the people at Cobb's, but like they should have just been a little more aggressive.
Vigilant. Yes, exactly. Because that it didn't have to come to that at all.
No.
So
that was not fun.
But I like the idea that you are learning
I am.
As we all should. You know, do a quick rewind, reassess the situation when you're clear-headed, and then move on, you know, with with this new lesson. But that guy that comes up and was like, nope, you don't need the bathroom. That's He's fucking like, cool.
You don't have to go to the bathroom. Yeah, I was like, yep. And thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, stranger. So yeah, so that was comedy.
But Frankie Quiñones, go see him live. There's no one like him.
And watch this fool.
Yeah.
Such a good show. This fool it just got Hulu. Canceled. So just watch it while it's still on. Yeah. Oh yeah. I totally forgot about that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, should your husband was down for you. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh,
he doesn't. He's not like that. He's a very passive dude, I think.
Yeah,
and I swear he said because you need to shut the fuck up.
Maybe
I'm pretty sure. Look, that's what he said.
You and I have different interpretations of this situation, and I will just go with yours. Sure. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that sentence.
No, I'm just doubting. He just, you know, I don't think he would want to get into a fight over me because I feel like that just is so weird. But maybe it was, I don't know. But he was, also my husband was mad at me because I wouldn't stop staring at the guy. I didn't say anything, but I was saying it with my eyes. I was like, this motherfucker needs to shut the fuck up. Anyway, good times, everybody. Good times. So much fun. Okay, South by Southwest. I'm going to talk about highlights. Going to see Gasoline Rainbow make its U.S. premiere.
In a very comfortable theater.
Alamo Draft House. Yes.
Love that place. We should be sponsored by them or something.
Yeah, Alamo. Throw us some money. I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. And
the boys, seeing the three boys who are in the film. And one of them affectionately said we remind him of his aunties. So that's great. His crazy aunties, obviously.
Obviously. but one of my favorite parts of South by 2. So there was a after party after Gasoline Rainbow, as of course there always will be for these guys. And Ange took to the pool table, of course. And we were having a good time because the majority of that bar was all for Gasoline Rainbow. So it was a bunch of it was the kids from the movie playing.
Played Auntie, all of the boys.
Playing Auntie Ange because they all feel like they could have beat her. And I'm like, you motherfuckers have
They're
no
all
idea.
Trying to
sure.
challenge me. I was like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah. It was cute. It was cute for them. but then these hicks at later in the evening came up to Ange. And you were playing some other folks, new people to us that were
really
friends.
Really cool people. We met so many cool people that night that were Gasoline Rainbow adjacent. We just hadn't met them yet.
Right.
But you were, we also have to say that you were ready to go home because you were starting to feel sick.
Yeah, I was
you
guys.
Were losing steam. And I was like, okay, we'll go whenever, you know, and we had a big day the next day of interviews. So you were losing steam. And I was like, okay, we're going to leave soon. So I won, but I was ready to give the table up. I was like, okay, I'm going to leave a winner also because I'm tired and my knees were hurting. And I was just like, I want to sit down now. So I was ready to give the table up. But this dude comes up and he was like, pick your partner. We're playing doubles. And it's my table. And I was like, excuse me.
Explain why it's your table.
Because I had won. I had just won. So the winner definitely picks what game they want to play for sure. And also the winner stays on the table, but I was going to give it up. But as soon as he said this to me, I was like, no, we're not playing doubles. We're playing singles. We've been playing singles all night. And he was like, you want to play me one-on-one? All are you sure kind of tone. And I was like, yes, I do. Now I'm going to keep fucking playing because fuck you. And so he even got his friend. And when Erin hears this, her eyes perk up and now she's awake again. She's like, fuck is this guy?
I am here for this. And then, motherfucker, don't even try.
He got his friend to come up to me and be like, are you sure you don't want to play doubles? And I was like, yes. when if and when he wins the table, he can play whatever he wants. But I won the last game, so I want to play singles. Does that sound fair to you? And he was like, yeah. And then he walked away. I was like, what the fuck? And then to add insult to injury, he asked me for quarters. Yeah. Didn't even have enough quarters for the table. So I'm already, I've had such a
She's fired up.
I've had such a nice evening and met some nice people and reuniting with old friends. And now I'm just like pissed. So we end up playing and I end up beating him.
Dude. And
but every time I shot, Aaron's jumping and screaming and like high-fiving. I don't know what you were doing, but I heard you. And I was like, you were asleep 10 minutes ago.
I was totally asleep in a corner, basically. And then
you were like going up and down the crowd and like high-five. I don't know what you were doing.
No, I was talking shit. I was like, this motherfucker thinks he can beat her. And so now
he
he was not good. We are all team Tabora right now because anytime there is even a little glimmer of beating the patriarchy, I am there for it. I will wake up. I will rally for you, especially when it's pool. Because we have been friends for a long time. This happens at least yearly where we're at a bar and some dick comes up literally and like tries to show you and or me how to play pool, you especially. And we call it every time. We're like, this motherfucker is going to try and show us and just try and be a piece of shit. I don't know. That's what happens.
Superior,
so, you know,
as they are.
Yes. Well, you know, but it was funny because it was just in front of like all the team from Gasoline Rainbow.
I know. I was like, I didn't even want to play anymore. God damn it. I really didn't want to play anymore.
Because it's funny because, you know, when y'all see the movie, I mean, we're playing pool in the movie and it's basically, we were like meta that night. It was meta. So, but
and
this
woman came up to me and said, and told me happy International Women's Day. She was like, thank you. Happy International Women's Day. Oh my God. It was the United Nations of pool.
It was beautiful.
It was a group loving moment. So I appreciated that.
I loved every minute of that. And but then the next morning I woke up sick as a dog. So anyways, it's worth it. Totally worth it. No, that was so great. That same night, because you know we're idiots, and so we got to sit through. Like, I think the first 50 minutes of Gasoline Rainbow, and actually we are in the first 50 minutes of that movie, and it timed perfectly because then we had to run to a red carpet down the street. And as we're kind of running down the street, this guy was across the street, and my husband's our audio producer when we're at South By. He's like, that guy looks like Mark Zuckerberg, but in, what was
in
that
movie
called? In the movie.
Fucking movie. What the fuck?
It's fine. Oh, but then it actually was. It was just
him.
Weisenberg.
By himself with his hoodie on. Like just very
and
casually.
Earbuds in. Yes.
Yeah.
So
it was very
weird.
Random. And it wasn't a like heavily populated street in terms
Not
of pedestrians.
Nope.
So that was super random. So that red carpet that Aaron's referencing is for a movie called I Don't Understand You, starring Nick Kroll and Andrew Reynolds. And the star of the red carpet was Aaron's big clit energy button. Thank God you were wearing that because everybody referenced it. Nick Kroll, especially. We have the best audio one-liner. I kind of want to open every episode with it. I'm not going to give it away. You're going to have to listen to the red carpet, but he really, I love it. It was special. And there's a picture of me cracking the fuck up after he said it. So
yes. I mean, Nick Kroll's been on the list for a while. I'm just glad he is now on the show permanently. It's recorded.
He lives up to the fun that I was hoping we would have just chatting with him.
Oh my God. And I loved his suit. I was calling it Purple Rain. It was really pretty. It was like a pastel purple. Mm-hmm. That was really fun. And actually, that's one of my favorite movies from South By.
Yes.
It's silly.
It's dark humor.
It's very dark, but it's hilarious. I don't know. And there's a lot of physical humor in it. So
and we did
like
everything for this movie. We did the red carpet. We did an interview with the producers and we went to their afterwards premiere party.
Oh yeah, that's right. we did
all
things.
Their things.
Yes. So that was fun. And then we covered the red carpet for a movie called Babes, which Alana Glazer writes and stars, co-wrote and stars in. And did you pee?
No, I'm dancing because it was so good.
It was so good. And so we knew that Pamela Adlon was going to be there. If you don't know who Pamela Adlon is, I'm so sorry for you, and watch Better Things immediately. But we have been fans and have been wanting to have her on the show for a few years now. I've been trying to get her. I've been trying. And so it, the red carpet, they put us literally at the very end of the carpet, which you kind of never, ever want, because what happens is everyone at the beginning will ask each person 5 or 10 questions, and they get all the time they want in the world. By the time they get to us, they have to be in the theater, and we get one question. If we're lucky. Because actually, there were a couple of stars of the film. Well, I don't know how much of stars there are in it, but I wanted them, and they only like talked to one person and left. Anyways, and I tried to get them and I got moted. So anyways, so the PR people on that carpet were really nice. And they're like, okay, so we know how this is going and we know how it goes. They're like, who do you want? We're like, Pamela Adlon. Like, that's,
we both like at the same second, because they were like, you probably not going to be able to get everyone, but who is a must get? And we both said Pamela Adlon, like right away. So
yeah.
So we had someone next to us. His name was Chris, and he was really sweet. And when Pamela Adlon finally came up, she was about to say something to him, and he pointed at us and he was like, they've been waiting for you. So that, Chris, thank you. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
And really it was like magical.
I love her so much. I want to cry now. So Anne, just so I have to, I'm giving flowers to my co-host here. She's so good on red carpets, because I am not. I freak out because we do so much research for our interviews. It's like red carpets. We don't see the films normally. The only one, I mean, we did get to see, I Don't Understand You. We're lucky, but that's few and far between.
You are never good at red carpets. You ask good questions. You ask fun questions.
I'm giving you flowers. Shut up.
Okay.
So Ange always has good questions and I love it. And so I was like, you have to start. Cause I am like, I it's Pamela Adlon.
I was going to give you the question. Remember, I was like, if we only get one question, you start. And then if we get one more, I'll throw a second one in there. And then as soon as she starts coming up to me or us, you were like, you say the first question. I was like, are you sure? Okay. Because I really wanted you to have the moment more than, you know, whatever. I was trying to be selfless.
Oh, so, thank you.
So I asked the question, and then she's wonderful. And then me and Pamela turn to Aaron and we're like, next. And then what do you say?
I was like, well, here's the other thing I will say in my defense. The PR people are staring holes through us, and I can feel it. And I'm like, I know she has to go. And I also just didn't have a good question. I just didn't think I did.
Okay.
And so I know. And I just want to know way too much about her. I want more. I want more Pamela Adlon. I don't want one question. It's too hard.
But I've never seen you just blank. Like, because you were so in awe.
I was like, she goes, I wanted to.
Aaron goes, I think you have to go inside now. And I was like, oh, well, wait, I'll ask another question. But anyway, so Aaron says that. And then Pamela's like, let's take a picture. She said that. And that's not a thing. We don't know. We don't even ask all the time if we can take a picture after.
Because we forgot. We forget also.
We forget all the time. But that's not a thing. The person you're asking questions to isn't like, let's take a picture. So that was really, really sweet. And yeah, it was a nice moment.
I love her so much. I really do. I think you have to go now.
Oh my God. It was really
well
funny.
When we have her on for an actual interview, I'm gonna totally make fun of myself. I'm like, I just couldn't. I was reclumped. I really was. I was like, I can't talk
to her.
Yeah,
I've never
right
seen
now.
You freeze up. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I love her. Anyways. She also, if you have watched Better Things, she did something with us that she does on Better Things, like to get rid of the bad spirits. But
to poo-poo the bad spirits away.
Poo-poo. But that was fun. But also Michelle Buteau, who I've been a fan of for a while. And I just love everything she does. I love her stand up. I love the acting roles she takes, blah, blah, blah. She's in the movie. This bitch was wearing fucking fuchsia stirrup pants. And she is my hero. But I don't want to blow the whole interview. But We got
you
some
just
good
have
stuff.
To listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I funny. Mean, and we like it would have been a spit take if we were drinking water.
Yes.
Like what you said. We would have like, spit.
I think I was like, okay, goodbye.
Yeah.
There's no follow up.
We're
There's
like,
no
drop my
to what she
see
said.
You later, bitch.
Goodbye.
Like you, just,
you
are
need to go
really,
inside.
You are top bitch now. Top bitch. All for everything. Thing. But by the way, she just announced today she's recording her next stand-up gig at Radio City Music Hall. She's the first Black woman to do this.
Holy shit. That's incredible.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, imagine if we could be there.
I know.
Fuck.
Can someone help us get there?
Maybe when we get Anyways. Sponsored by Alamo Draft House. Is there an Alamo Draft House in New York?
Maybe. There could
first
be.
First step. Send us.
Yes. Anyways, she was rad. And then we got one question with Alana Glazer. One, which sucks. Whatever. We'll take our wins. Mm-hmm. So that was a really fun red carpet. I will also say we had a lot of great interviews. Our friend, our honorary bitch, John Wildman, drove down 2 days in a row from Dallas to Austin, which is like on a, like without traffic, like maybe 2.5-3 hours. So thank you, John, each way.
So he does little cameos. You'll hear him off and on throughout.
Yeah. But I think we had really great interviews. Everyone was great. I just, there was never, I mean, we had Dominic Mociano on, who is a 96 gold medal Olympian.
The first USA gymnastics team to win the gold.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And she is, her life story is really incredible too. So that's a great one. But also I want to give a shout out to the people behind the scenes at The World According to Ali Willis, which is a film that we're going to talk about, because not only did they send us a shirt to wear ahead of time, they also gave us a record signed. We got all of them to sign it, and of Ali Willis's songs. And
original songs
and we just got the best swag from them.
Yes, we did. And our shirts.
You know how much I love swag. So
I know you do. You're swag.
Shout out
swag whore. I don't know. I would say though, we are gonna have to figure out how to get to South by. The reason we chose our dates was because of Gasoline Rainbow. We wanted to be there, but I do like being there when there's more music on the ground.
Yeah.
That just changes the vibe.
We have to be there the second week, not the first week.
Mm-hmm. No. But look, we wouldn't have gotten what we did if we went later. So whatever. It all works out.
And it was really fun still. And also you were sick. So, you know, you wouldn't have had the energy to. And also I was real tired too. I was down to let's go to bed now, you know?
Yeah.
This is the thing. We didn't have Whataburger at 2 a.m. at all. Last time we were in Austin, we had it twice in like 4 days. So that goes to show you, like, we really didn't push it. Like we had some fun. We went to some premiere parties, but we weren't crazy.
No, we were not crazy. I'm proud of us. Look at us being adults.
Yeah, but next time I want to be crazy. Anyways.
Okay. Excuse me.
So we have already put out our Freak Nick episode because it just came out, and please watch it. It's a really fun film. And our
it's on Hulu.
Fucking Jermaine Dupri and Dr. Luke of Two Live Crew, like what the fuck. So anyways, we started off our South by interviews with Freak Nick, but be ready, because hold on to your asses, because we have a lot of South by interviews coming up, and really fun ones. Fucking listen and enjoy, especially our interview with the Ross brothers from Gasoline Rainbow. We get into the nitty-gritty of the film and what we've all been through together.
Those guys, I don't know. It's the thing of, like, I definitely think of past lives, and like, I'm sure whatever we were doing in our past lives, we knew them then too. I don't know. There's just something, I don't know. You don't meet a lot of people where you're just like, we get you, you get us, and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you
thank
just
you
like
for
trust.
Supporting.
Yeah, you just have this immediate trust and like understanding with each other. Yeah.
And just chill.
Mm-hmm.
Chill vibes. And I love them. And it was funny because I mean, you'll hear it on the interview, but I came prepared with some questions, and Ange was so mad at me. And I'm like, well, I just need some notes just in case. And so when we sit down, they're like, so let's talk about you guys. And we're like, what?
Well, I was like, why do you need notes? It's like going to visit your friends and you have notes for the, you know, hang out with your friends. It just, I didn't understand. But anyway, no, it's fine.
To be prepared, Ange. I like
Our preparation was our lives.
That's true too.
But anyways. But also,
you'll hear Ange glitch out during the interview at the beginning. So that's always fun.
Whatever.
It frightened me. I was scared for you. I didn't know what was happening. I'm serious. Yeah. It's like our friend Dara the other night just laughing and not stopping laughing. And you're like, is something wrong with you? It was the same feeling I was having.
So I told our friend, and this is all I said. I didn't even explain anything else. I was like, yeah, I had my first colonoscopy and they didn't put me under. I was awake during the whole thing. And she just started laughing like a hyena. And then when you thought it was done, she'd start laughing again, really loud. And only her was laughing. The rest of us were just like, no. Like looking at each other, like,
we were laughing because of her awkward laughing. It was like so much laughing
for like 30, 45 seconds. She like was a glitching long time. Like she, she didn't stop.
Dara, if you're listening, sorry, we're talking about this, but I was very worried. We were like, do we need to go to the hospital? Is she going to stop laughing? Like,
it's funny, but it's not that funny.
No, also like, it was traumatizing. Yeah. You know, this is not for the laughs, but apparently it was. I don't know.
She did make us laugh. You should share her one-liner.
Oh my God. Okay. Our friend Derek Hosberg
is a comedian.
She is a comedian.
Hilarious.
She's writing a pilot for a comedy show. Okay. So we're catching up with her. She moved down to LA last year and she's on the dating scene and she was telling us she was hooking up with some dude, younger dude. And she had these are the moments where I'm like, man, it'd be funny to be dating right now because these are really good one-liners. But she had to tell him, like, you have to treat my vagina like the Notebook, not Pornhub. And I was like, you better put this
your
stand-up somewhere because that line, like copyright that shit. I don't know. Put it on a shirt. I don't know. I need this in my life. I was like.
But also I wanted to tell her like he might be too young for the Notebook reference.
Also that.
Which he has makes no it idea. Even better. He's like, right. You want me to use a pen?
Ew.
Sorry. Anyways, yeah,
no, thank you.
Moving on.
Yeah,
sorry
moving on. Moving on.
Dara, but, you know, don't tell us anything then.
Yeah, but like I've had two moments with my friends now where I'm like, are we in the Matrix? Are they glitching? Like, what is happening right now? Is someone like pressing buttons? Like, I don't know. It's like confirming
the microchip thoughts. Is.
Yes. The thoughts of how this life is going. Okay. So get ready for South By and. Okay, I didn't know this week was going to turn into a week of like trying to fight for a friend of the show's job. And on Monday morning, I woke up to news that Ronnell Brooks Moon, who's been the PA announcer at the San Francisco Giants for 24 years, she and the Giants mutually parted ways, quote unquote. And I was like, oh, hell no, they did not. And somehow I was able to read this article that normally I can't read Chronicle articles. I read it and the writer, Ann Killian, I'm giving her a shout out, basically put in the article like, it's suspect. There are other kind of Giants employees that are like, yeah, no, she's been pushed out. Her voice behind Black Lives Matter, her just social justice lens doesn't really fit with the Giants because the Giants are owned by a man named Charles Johnson, who is a Trump supporter. Also, I think Mitch McConnell and a whole host of terrible Republicans that are fucking screwing this nation hardcore. So I just felt helpless and I was posting everywhere. And I'm like, if the world is falling, it's basically in flames all around us. this feels like something I could help with. So I started a petition. I was opening up the bar that I work at, and I was furiously starting a change.org petition while I was opening the bar. And I am ashamed to say it, but I didn't have time, but I did use ChatGPT to use, because they're like, do you want to use AI to help you write your thing? So I did, and I wrote a few things about Ranelle, and it came out beautifully, I have to say. There are some things I changed in the text to be a little more clear about. But so I started that petition, and I'm like, I need to do something. So at this point now, there might be over 1,300 signatures, which isn't bad. I want more. Ann Killian wrote a follow-up piece yesterday because I guess the Giants, I don't think I told you this, but maybe I did. The Giants had some like open house or something for reporters.
Oh, fuck.
And off. Correct. And Larry Bear, who I already hate, by the way, I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. And unfortunately, I see him around town and I want to punch him in the face. He addressed the Ranelle stuff, and it was just bullet points about how much she was loved, and they're going to name the PA booth after her and all this bullshit.
Fuck off.
And when reporters push, they just didn't have anything else to say. They're basically just bullet points. And so I had already written to Ann Killian yesterday, and I'm like, look, we just need more of a buzz around this petition. But we're getting some really great comments from fans. We have a lot of out-of-state people also citing the petition. And it'd just be great to like elevate this. It's not about us. It's not about Bitch Talk. It's not about me. Like, it's about Ranelle. And I just want her to know she's loved. And so she had written back to me, Ann Killian, and she told me about the Giants thing. And she's like, I'm going to write a follow-up piece about this. So I'll include the petition. And there's also going to be a protest on Tuesday, March 26th at the ballpark. Before the game, we're trying to get the time. I'm not spearheading that. It's a different group, but I'm going to be there. So that piece came out in the Chronicle last night. It's kind of slowly gaining momentum, but we'll put the petition in the show notes if you can sign it. They're doing her dirty. It's all the isms that you can think of. This woman has been with the Giants for 24 years in the PA booth. 24 years. And whatever her contract, it was a contract negotiating thing. I can't imagine that she's asking for anything more than what she deserves. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you too, on the same day that they announced that they mutually parted ways, quote unquote, later in the day, they announced that they signed a new player who's supposed to be fucking great for 2 years at $62 million. So don't tell me it's about the money, Giants. Right.
And how much is the managers and the top guys taking home every year? Fuck
Correct.
Off. Yeah. And also what fans of the Giants have been through the last few years already, to add this to, it's like, it's been rough losing Gabe and also not being able to win with Gabe. That whole thing, it's been really rough.
Yeah, it's been gross. It's just gross. And also, fuck the patriarchy. I'm over it. Again, I'm over it. So sign the petition, please. Like I said, we're getting some traction. People are sharing. If you can share it, if you can send it, like email it. I don't care how you get it to other people, but like, this is dirty. She's the first Black woman in MLB to be a PA announcer. Mm-hmm. Just saying. So yeah, that's what I've been doing this week.
And also, who would ever want to follow after
Correct.
Her? Who's going to possibly replace her? Like, good fucking luck, seriously.
I am sad to say, I haven't seen, doesn't mean they haven't. I haven't seen like someone that's been on our show, Hunter Pence. Mm-hmm. Post about this. I haven't seen any ally. I haven't seen the mayor who buddies up to, I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. And I don't actively follow her on social media because I can't stand her, but I haven't seen anything from her. Come on guys, where are the allies? Mm-hmm. Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
We have this very little platform. Where are the bigger platforms? Like, fucking boost this shit. This is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, yeah. And they did Gabe Kapler dirty. So it's just, come on. The Giants are gross. Reinstate Rennell. So on that note, happy 2024.
2020 horror.
Fight the power. That's all I have to say. I still got it in me. There's still some pep.
I know. See, we just need the combination of some asshole coming up on the pool table. A woman getting wronged.
Yeah.
And somebody talking during a comedy show. You can bottle up that energy.
Yeah. It's exhausting, though. It's exhausting. It's something. I'm like, yeah, if I could bottle that, that'd be great. But listen to our South by Southwest stuff. We're really proud of it. It was fun. So happy that we had an audio producer with us, Jeff Hunt from Story San Francisco. So Ange didn't have to be sweating through her pits through every interview or red carpet.
Shaking, sweating.
Yeah. And one last shout out to Shauna Festi, who's been on our show, who lives in Austin. We randomly saw her after the Babes red carpet, seriously. And it was just a joy to see her and get hugs. And it was comforting. So shout out to you, Shauna. And hopefully we'll have you on the show later this year promoting your new book. Excuse me. So yeah, with that, we will see you on the flip side. I think we'll have another basic in May. Bye. Thanks for joining us on today's show. You can find more information about this episode in our show notes.
If you're missing us, you can visit us at bitchtalkpodcast.com to sign up for our newsletter and buy us a cup of coffee.
Did you know we're also on the radio? You can find us at bff.fm.
And lastly, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All the cool bitches are doing it.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.